Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. Today, we're diving deep into an electrolyte that often gets overlooked but is super high yield for your exam, phosphorus. It plays a role in energy production, bone health, and cellular metabolism. Imbalances can cause serious clinical issues. Mars, let's kick things off with hypophosphatemia.
Absolutely, Chris. Hypophosphatemia is big for the shelf. First scenario, refeeding syndrome.
Classic setup, a malnourished alcoholic or a patient NPO, meaning nothing by mouth, who suddenly started on total parenteral nutrition. Within 24 to 72 hours, they develop weakness, paresthesias, arrhythmias, or failure to wean off the ventilator. Mars, what's happening here?
Diagnosis is low serum phosphate, usually below 2, and severe if under 1. Pathophase is key. During starvation, total body phosphate is depleted, but serum levels can look normal. Once you reintroduce carbs, insulin surges and drives phosphate, potassium, and magnesium into the cells. Serum phosphate crashes. Without phosphate, cells can't make ATP, or 2,3-BPG. That means diaphragm weakness, arrhythmias, hemolysis, and poor oxygen delivery. So Chris, what's the fix?
Start feeds slowly. Start low, go slow. Replete phosphate, potassium, and magnesium. Always give thiamine before glucose to prevent Wernicke's encephalopathy. And don't just fix one electrolyte, correct all three.
Shelf classic. Next scenario, DKA. After insulin therapy.
Right, diabetic ketoacidosis. After insulin, potassium might normalize, but phosphate drops. The patient stays weak or can't get off the vent.
Exactly. Before insulin, phosphate shifts out of cells, so serum looks okay even though total body phosphate is low. Add in urinary phosphate loss from osmotic diuresis, then insulin pushes phosphate back into cells, and boom, serum levels crash. Treatment is oral or IV phosphate if under 2 or symptomatic, plus correcting potassium and magnesium. Severe cases under 1 can cause respiratory failure.
Next up, hungry bone syndrome after parathyroidectomy.
Classic presentation. 24 to 72 hours after surgery, patient has hypocalcemia and hypophosphatemia with weakness, cramps, and tetany. Labs show low calcium, low phosphate, high alkaline phosphatase, and low or normal PTH. Pathophys, in hyperparathyroidism, bones are chronically resorbed. After surgery, osteoblasts kick in, sucking up calcium and phosphate from blood to rebuild bone. Treatment.
High-dose calcium, calcitriol, phosphate if needed, and magnesium. Pitfall, don't confuse this with surgical hypoparathyroidism, where phosphate is high, not low. We will hit on this a little later.
Good catch. Another cause of low phosphate is antacids and phosphate binders, like aluminum hydroxide or sevelamer.
Classic ICU or ESRD patient on binders, now with weakness or encephalopathy. Diagnosis is straightforward, low phosphate. Pathophys is gut binding, phosphate gets trapped and can't be absorbed. Treatment is to stop the agent and replete phosphate. Caveat, aluminum agents can build up and cause encephalopathy or osteomalacia.
Last hypophosphatemia cause is renal phosphate wasting, especially Fanconi syndrome from ifosfamide or tenofovir.
Classic oncologic patient on ifosfamide with polyuria and glucosuria, despite normal blood glucose.
Labs show low serum phosphate, high urinary phosphate, and proximal renal tubular acidosis. Pathophys, proximal tubule injury, so phosphate, glucose, amino acids, and bicarb aren't reabsorbed. Treatment is oral phosphate and bicarb, and stop the drug if you can. Exam clue, glucosuria with normal glucose.
Great. Now let's flip to hyperphosphatemia. First up, chronic kidney disease.
Classic, dialysis patient with pruritus, bone pain, or calciphylaxis. Diagnosis is high phosphate with secondary parathyroidism. Pathophase is low GFR leads to phosphate retention, low calcium, and high PTH. Over time, calcium phosphate deposits in vessels and tissues that leads to the skin necrosis and wounds. Treatment is dietary restriction, phosphate binders like sevelamer, optimizing dialysis, vitamin D analogs, and Sinaclset. Avoid calcium binders if calcium phosphate product is high.
Next up, tumor lysis syndrome.
Classic leukemia or lymphoma patient after chemo, now with acute kidney injury, hyperkalemia, hyperphosphatemia, and hypocalcemia. Pathophys, massive cell lysis, releases potassium, phosphate, and nucleic acids. Phosphate binds calcium, causing hypocalcemia and kidney precipitation. Nucleic acids turn into uric acid, clogging the kidneys. Treatment is IV fluids, resbiricase for the high uric acid, phosphate binders, and dialysis if needed.
And finally, hypoparathyroidism after thyroidectomy.
Classic. 1 to 2 days post-op, patient gets perioral tingling and tetany. Diagnosis, low calcium, high phosphate, low PTH. Pathophys without PTH, kidneys retain phosphate and waste calcium. Treatment is IV calcium if symptomatic, then oral calcium plus calcitriol long-term. Add phosphate binders if needed. Key distinction from hungry bone syndrome, here phosphate is high, not low.
Perfect wrap-up. Now let's finish with 5 high-yield facts for your exam.
Number 1, refeeding syndrome. When you give carbs to a malnourished patient, insulin spikes and drives phosphate, potassium, and magnesium into the cells. That causes hypophosphatemia, hypokalemia, and hypomagnesemia, which can crash the diaphragm and heart.
Number 2, hungry bone syndrome. After parathyroidectomy and a patient with long-standing hyperparathyroidism, osteoblasts suddenly suck up calcium, phosphate, and magnesium into bone. Labs, low calcium, low phosphorus, high alkaline phosphatase. This is different from post-thyroidectomy parathyroid injury, where previously normal glands stop working and labs show low calcium and high phosphate. That's the key difference to know for your exam.
Number 3, hyperphosphatemia in ESRD. Low GFR means phosphate retention, which drives secondary parathyroidism and raises the calcium phosphate product, causing vascular and soft tissue calcification. Advanced cases can lead to calciphylaxis, painful necrotic skin ulcers from vascular calcification.
Number 4, tumor lysis syndrome. Classically, after chemo for leukemia or lymphoma, massive cell lysis dumps potassium, phosphate, and uric acid. Labs, high potassium, high phosphate, low calcium, high uric acid. Complication, calcium phosphate nephrocalcinosis and acute kidney injury. Treat with fluids, resbiricase, and binders.
Number 5, Fanconi syndrome. A proximal renal tubular defect, sometimes drug-induced by ifosfamide or tenofovir. Patients spill phosphate, bicarb, and glucose into the urine despite normal serum glucose. Classic clue, glucosuria with normal glucose plus hypophosphatemia.
All right, team, keep grinding, and we'll see you next time on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.